Hey guys, it's Jake Sorensen. Listen, I know it's hard to eat healthy and commit to that, especially during the holiday season, and it's hard to do it because you're giving up on flavor and fun. Well, good news. Washington Red Raspberries are a clean, simple, and delicious way to add more nutrition to your day. They're American grown, picked at peak ripeness, and frozen within hours to lock in nutrients like fiber, antioxidants, and vitamin C. And they have no added sugar, just fruit as nature intended. For you calorie counters, only 80 calories per cup. They're a great source of fiber. And these raspberries really bring bright flavor and vibrant color to make every dish feel special. You can keep a bag in the freezers. You can add a pop of flavor and feel-good nutrition anytime. By the way, this is available at Costco, Kroger, Meijer, and Winco Foods. You want to discover new ways to use American frozen red raspberries and get more details on where you can grab a bag of these delicious berries? Go to redraz.org, that's redraz.org. You'll find recipes, health tips, retail locations, and everything you need to make frozen Washington red raspberries a regular part of your routine. That's redraz.org, redraz.org. And remember, look for Product of the U.S. on the bag.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This menu is a masterpiece.
This is the worst party ever.
Knock, knock. I brought chicken fingers.
Raisin Cane's. The party is saved.
Peter, Mr. Billingsley.
Celebrate the holidays with Raisin Cane's chicken fingers. One love.
Wake up, Lincoln.
I overslept. Damn rooster didn't crow.
It's time for Early Break. Sponsored by Midwest Bank. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I'm wrong, but I'm not.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
If I were a feral cat.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
You get one team. Mine's the Houston Oilers. I'm not the Texans, and I'm not the Titans, so I'm out.
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 2 on a Monday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. Hour 2, as always, sponsored by our friends at Midwest Bank. Member FDIC. Location in South Lincoln at 27th and Jamie Lane, also at 70th in Pioneers. And what does Shin Daddy have going on today on a Monday in Creighton, Bill?
He's got some work he's doing, so he's taking Monday and Tuesday off.
Okay.
He's got a big event for Wednesday for Thanksgiving Eve.
Of course he does.
So he's taking a couple days off today.
You really want to give
you know, all the employees a little time off to be thankful. You can imagine what they do every day, from putting on mascot hats and just different things they do, and getting tasered, you know, and a lot of stuff going on. So
he's going to have
an event on Wednesday.
The rival's ours.
No, well, not rival ours. It'll kind of coincide together.
Okay. Not a rivalry.
Not a rivalry.
Just a friendship thing.
Just a friendship thing. Yes, love is a friendship thing. But you only want to give the guys and ladies a little time off, because what he's asked in the last 2.5 years, you know, like that, just, you know, with putting up the ice skating rink and all the stuff they've had to do.
He's a hard driver.
Yeah, it's a hard drive. So he's given some time off. So
no, he's a hard driver.
Yes. That's what I said.
Yeah. Oh. But I thought you said it's a hard drive.
No.
He's a hard drive.
Hard drive to Creighton?
No. No, it's not pretty easy.
Is it?
Yeah. Depends which route you want to take.
Yep.
Where do you go up?
Several ideas.
Do you go up I-29?
What's that?
No.
No.
To Creighton?
You go through Columbus. Good God.
It's not Sioux City here.
Yeah, you go through North. How many times did I tell you I drive it through Columbus? Like 50
times
a year. It's
alternate route.
It's alternate route. I-29, you could. It'd be way out of the way.
Very strange route.
An extra 2.5 hours on the trip. But you could, Steve. Yes, you can do that.
You just whip up.
Wouldn't recommend that route.
No. I go through Rising City, then jump on 81.
Okay.
Still kind of amazed that they haven't taken 81 from past the 7 mile corner all the way down to Rising City in a 4 lane. They kind of chopped it off right there at the 7 mile corner, which young Ben
didn't know about.
Lived in Columbus and didn't know there was a 7 mile corner.
What are you talking about?
Never heard of it. Never had heard of 7 mile corner. I like that corner.
I don't understand that.
You can take a left sometimes.
You could even
go through Bellwood.
You couldn't defend him on that.
You couldn't defend him on that one. No. It's like, I don't know what to tell you.
I'm sorry, Ben. I just can't.
Young Ben has been summoned for our party on Wednesday. He says he has to work, but we're going to try to figure out a way to whisk him down here.
I got a text from about six people saying they're showing up with people with them. So it's going to be a full house.
Can't wait. It's going to be epic.
On Wednesday, 6 to 9 a.m.
I guarantee you young Ben's not lying. They're probably riding him pretty hard up there.
No, I bet.
Norfolk paper.
He's running the whole paper.
He's a young guy, so they're going to make him work a lot. I wonder how he's
imagine
doing.
The takes. Imagine he has the takes that he has. He had takes for us every single break.
I wonder if he has like city council takes.
I'm odd we didn't hear from Ben because
he's been pretty quiet.
The Huskers don't play well. Ben gets in a text stream with us pretty quickly, wanting answers. We didn't hear anything from him.
Maybe apathy has hit young Ben, Bill.
We'll have to check in with Ben.
He's highly critical, usually.
Yes, highly critical. Well, he's the voice of Columbus Lakeview, so he's seen a lot of football.
And the Norfolk paper. Yes, thanks to the Midwest Bank for sponsoring Hour 2. 464-5685, call or text as always. TJ Lateef was the quarterback for Nebraska Saturday. Again, he couldn't do a lot. The offense was doing minimal with little time to throw, and the defense wasn't stopping anybody. But Lateef in the game, 21 for 37, 187 through the air, sacked three times, running the ball, did have the one touchdown, 10 carries, 15 yards. I don't know if Dylan does any better than that. In that game, right? If Dylan's playing, is the result any different?
Well, how would you think the protection wasn't terrible, right?
But he also was able to elude some pressure, which
he had to have avoided probably four to five sacks. Well, but that you can't say, well, that would have been a sack with Dylan in the game. You can't say, you don't know if he made the guy miss or not. So you can't say, well, that would have been eight sacks. There's only three with him, but he made some plays with his feet.
He did
that were a problem
now
for Penn State.
They only asked him to run twice on designed runs. So only two designed runs, which is sort of surprising. It wasn't like he was running a bunch of designed runs against UCLA. He ran five times for 31 yards against UCLA. Two designed runs against Penn State. Five scrambles. So I thought they would run him a little bit more. I thought there'd be more run plays.
Yeah, they don't have quarterback counter, or they don't have quarterback power, if you watched the play yesterday that Kelsey ran against, and then there's a holding call or a face mask call against Kansas City.
That's right. Yep.
But that's a version of a quarterback power run game that you can do. It turns things into 11-on-11 football very quickly. And so right now they don't have it. They probably have it in. Maybe it just wasn't part of their as the game played out, wasn't part of it. But the design run game, because the zone read keep, you have a chance to defend that. The other ones are very tough to defend because you have to play with 11 players to stop it.
There's one thing I want to address that we didn't even mention. That first series, there's sort of a curious development. There's a 3rd-and-2 at Nebraska's 37, and they brought in Harburg to play quarterback. And he just handed off to 21. Okay, so it was kind of odd, right? So Harburg's, I think he was under, I don't know if he's under center. They put him in the gun. There's one, they might have put him under center, then moved him back in the gun. Whatever, he just handed off to 21. So why do that? Then they did it again.
Yep.
They, on 3rd-and-2 at Penn State's 3, 3rd-and-2 at Penn State's 3, Harburg came in and handed it off.
Yeah.
I mean, just hand off. They brought in Harburg. Yeah. And I'm not being critical. It's just, it was curious to me.
It's a little odd because Lateef's under center. He takes snaps under center. So it's not like, well, we're better in this spot.
Is it possible they went to the line of scrimmage and saw something that they weren't expecting? I don't know.
Maybe they had it. And you wouldn't say like, well, they had a speed option built in and they checked to this or did something because you'd like to have Lateef run in speed option. So it's not like the advantage. The one thing it puts you in harm's way as a play caller if it doesn't go well. Meaning if there's a fumbled snap or something, that would be one thing that something didn't go well. But they'd obviously practiced it. So, when he came in, my first thought was something's unique here.
Right.
And it wasn't
either time. Regular handoff.
So, and it's possible they were setting something up for later, right? And then there's just nothing to do later. I mean, you're out of the game and I don't know. By the way, I don't think that Penn State blitzed a lot.
They were not. There was a lot of four-man rush.
Yeah. Thank you. That's exactly That's exactly what the stats said. Penn State blitzed Latif just 9 times out of 45 dropbacks. He was under pressure a total of 18 times. So, yes, ran the ball 7 times, 5 QB scrambles, and 2 design.
Now, before I play this, Sip, can you please tell Breakers
paint the picture,
who,
yes.
Because we saw the audio from post-game from Matt Rhule, and it appeared to be yelling. Why was it so loud before I play this?
Because of the construction at Penn State's, on Penn State's very obnoxious stadium, the I
love the commentary.
The post game was in a tent where, like in a concourse area. It wasn't ideal, so it was very loud. There was a lot of
This picture as if there's like there was construction going on during the time. Was there some sort of that?
It's the stadium's under construction.
And there was no one like the time running a jackhammer or anything after the game.
Game's over. Yes. Come on, get it going.
But because of that construction, everything's sort of askew. For instance, the press box is normally on one side. They moved it over to where the suites where they usually are. The press box isn't where it typically has been. So the post game area was just for the visiting team was a little tent set up in a concourse area. Very, very. And so there's people walking by. You can hear, I don't know, the band, I think, walked by at one point. It was really loud. And so Rhule did have to yell in order for anybody to hear him.
Now, here is his assessment in the yelling post game of Latif's performance from Saturday. Here's Matt Rhule from Saturday.
At the end of the day, TJ, I don't think had a bad play of the night. Even on this, we called the, you know, kind of the rollout play, and that ended up being a sack on the one. You know, if you remember 2 games ago, Sam, against USC, twice he ran and twice they knocked the ball out and fumbled it out of bounds. Kid hasn't really been hit in a long time. Got out there, even on a play like that, he gets down. I think he moved the ball. He got us on the right checks. He handled the pressure. He handled the crowd noise. You know, we had to go on silent the whole night. I thought TJ did a lot of good things. There's probably some throws at the end of the game. You know, he'd love to get back, but he battled. He fought. He ran, tried to run guys over and all that. I would prefer that he didn't always do that. But I think it sent a message to our team that he was going to fight for us, and that Emmett was going to fight for us, and that Sierra was going to fight to the end. And so, he'll have to be ready for some, obviously a great Iowa defense, a different type of defense, but a great Iowa defense. And it's a short week. It's going to be a real challenge for all of us, and we're ready for it.
Yeah, Latif was fine.
He was just fine. Yelling.
Yeah, it was. Well, it was really.
I know why it's hilarious.
Awkward post game. He was fine. They didn't. He only threw once in the first 8 plays. It was really conservative early. Then, of course, the game got out of hand. You have to start throwing. They cut him loose a little bit. They didn't throw it downfield much, though. Right?
Wasn't many.
There wasn't much to do.
And there was times. There was some. He had open players. He had open receivers that were missed. But a few, I remember. Yeah. It was hard. Like I said, it was one of those deals where, like you said, as the game got out of hand, as it did. You weren't in your natural flow of what you want to do. If you're truly trying to win the game,
right.
If you're trying, hey, we're going to try to get back in this thing, or are we just going to try to see if we can maybe muster out a drive here or so and see if we can just get this a little bit closer and then just get out of here.
Latif, 21 of 37 is the final number.
Yep, no picks, no fumbles. Yep.
I'm sure that wasn't the number they were thinking going into the game.
37 passes?
37 times.
No.
And that doesn't count the times he didn't throw it. Right. He scrambled and stuff. That means they were back there. That means they had pass plays called in the 40s.
Yep. He handled the scene well. It wasn't...
Hey, guys, Jake Sorensen. Hair loss is not just about hair. It's about how you feel when you look in the mirror. Hims helps you take back that confidence with access to simple, personalized care that fits your life. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays. There's no hidden fees, no surprise costs, just real... personalized care on your schedule. Think of Hims as your digital front door that gets you back to your old self with simple 100% online access to trusted treatments for real health concerns all in one place. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/earlybreak. That's Hims.com/earlybreak for your free online visit. Hims.com/earlybreak. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Hey guys, Jake Sorensen. Did you know your calendar age doesn't always match how old your body truly is? It's true. Your biological age, the age of your cells and organs, is actually the top predictor of your risk for serious diseases like heart disease, cancer, dementia, and more. That's why learning your biological age can be truly life-changing, and that's exactly what the True Age Test from True Diagnostic helps you do. It's a simple at-home test, and you can uncover your true biological age and get personalized insights into your true biological age and take control of your health like never before. No doctor visits, no labs, just a quick finger prick from the comfort of your home. This part really inspired me. Up to 90% of biological aging is driven by lifestyle. That means the way we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress plays a massive role in how fast or slow our bodies age. The test itself is super easy. Just a quick, painless finger prick. You send in your sample using a prepaid mailer, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you get a detailed online report with actionable insights you can use. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code EARLYBREAK to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's TrueDiagnostic.com and use EARLYBREAK at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you. Hey guys, Jake Sorensen. The holidays are almost here, and if you still have names on your list, don't panic. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. You'll discover presents that feel meaningful and personal, never rushed or last minute. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists and small businesses, so every gift feels special and thoughtfully chosen. For example, I just got a Miami Dolphins whiskey board that fits my bar perfectly in my basement with four glasses for tasters when friends come over. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers and sports fans to foodies, mixologists, and gardeners. You'll find unforgettable gifts that are anything but ordinary. Every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/earlybreak. That's uncommongoods.com/earlybreak for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
I mean, that's interesting that Rule stood there in silent a lot. It
wasn't loud.
What was that?
You said there was a lot of empty seats. And
there were thousands.
Which $1 tickets would indicate that as well. Before
there were a lot of empties, and there were a lot of Nebraska fans. There was way more Nebraska fans I would have thought. I mean, maybe not way more, but probably 8,000 to 10,000, I thought, there. There's a lot. I'm surprised they're in silent. It was not. There were times it was pretty loud. It was. Now, as far as Emmett goes, he got what, 100?
Emmett Johnson, 19 carries for 103 yards. Also, 8 catches for 48 yards Emmett Johnson.
Yeah, the rushing part was a little misleading.
In the long run.
Yeah.
52-yarder in the first drive.
Yeah, they ran at Nebraska. Ran 9 times for 74 yards in the first quarter. Good. The rest of the way, 23 carries for 57.
Bad.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't. Somebody said after the game, simple, they ran the ball fine. No, they didn't. They did not.
How about after that first possession?
Right. I mean, they ran the final three quarters 23 times for 57 yards. I guess that's fine if you're Fresno State. But that's not great. I'm sorry.
I like it. I like
I
the Sterling.
I need to check
today.
Myself.
No, you don't. You
play
deserve
the
to be.
Eagles.
No, Pete, I don't want to.
Take it easy.
I don't want to. Yeah, I like the way you're in. I like the mood you're in right now regarding the game. Now, you asked him after the game about. Pose the question? I'll play the result, the response.
Yeah, the
here.
Question was, did you think Penn State put a number on him rushing? You know, they just hammered away. I said, did you think your rushing defense would be further along at this point?
I think that's a big picture question. I don't have probably enough time. I mean, that's not good enough. But I think it's going to be just probably passe. This is for me to say, like, oh, it's just one thing. Like, you know, they got the ball in the perimeter a bunch. We missed some tackles. We were in spots. So, you know, you can't give up Steve's 37 points, you know, in this league. You can't give up however many yards rushing. I'll try to do a great job at the end of the year talking to you guys more big picture. Right now, it's just that was disappointing, obviously.
Yeah.
How'd you respond to that?
Well, there's no real way to respond. The What they wanted to do was
he did say
forward.
Your name.
He did say Steve.
That was awesome.
He dropped a Steve
that
in there.
That feels so
that's
attached.
Power. Yes. Power.
Was they wanted to move forward quickly. That was the theme. It was obviously, you know, the narrative that we want. Let's get out of here. We have a short week. We play Friday morning at 11 a.m. Let's just flush this and move on. So that was the player's MO, probably a directive from the head coach. So that was that. It was a lot, though. I mean, I will say, going back to Latif, that's a lot. I mean, I know this will come off as soft, but he's a freshman. That place is rough, even with thousands of empty seats. It's a rough place to play. It's just rough. I mean, I don't know. It's a big scene. It's a monster stadium, way overdone. And so Latif,
you'll never back up on that. I love that.
No, about that place is unnecessary. Latif handled it well, and it'll help him a ton to go into a place like that. It'll help him a ton to say he had those two experiences, Rose Bowl and going into that ungodly, ugly structure at Penn State.
But it was a beautiful place. It looked like the turf looked great.
It's nice inside.
It looked like on TV. The
weather
was great.
Good, yeah.
And the weather would look like perfect football weather.
Oh, my God. I don't know what to say about the weather. It was
so
beautiful.
Late November in Croatia.
There was no wind. Then he got up on Sunday. There's the wind.
There it was.
It's blowing hard and it's cold and the leaves are coming off. But on Saturday, I went to that park with a t-shirt on. I mean, it was so nice out. So, yeah, they got great weather. There's no weather problem.
Did you chat with any Penn State media before or during the game?
Yeah, any
all?
Media.
I try to chat with nobody at Penn State.
Okay.
I make
don't
sure
like them. It's personal.
I just don't chat with anybody there. I'm sorry.
You just can't wait to get out of
I chatted Penn State. With a few people from Nebraska. But yeah, no.
I was just kind of curious what they thought was going to happen. If you talked,
I heard Sean talking to a guy, one of the Penn State writers. Let me think what he was saying. Oh, what he was saying is Penn State got its act together, offensively mainly. That they were trying to do, they're doing a lot of horizontal passing. That kind of Bill referred to it last week. Andy Kolodniecki was sort of outthinking himself in his head, and then they kind of just in the last couple games have just gotten to. You saw what they did against Michigan State, and then you saw what they did against Nebraska.
They've got it dialed back.
Yeah, they dialed it back. They started just attacking on the ground.
Kolodniecki called a really good game, except for, I think it was before Nebraska got their touchdown. Whatever the score was at that time, was it 30 to maybe
three?
To three it may have been. And they came out with a slip screen on the first play for like a -2. I'm like, what would make you call a slip screen? I remember saying to my, I looked at Laura, I go, that's the dumbest call I've ever seen.
That's pretty bad.
Play action
I remember
pass?
It too.
Yes. They're running the ball very well. Play action. Slip screen? Because slip screens work well when teams are screaming up the field like that. That wasn't happening. It was like, no. Well, we have this play. I want to call it. And then that led to a Nebraska touchdown. They went 3-and-out, and Nebraska got the ball and went down and scored. The play we haven't talked about,
which
was interesting, a call by them.
The punt? Fake?
The fake punt.
Thank you.
Nailed
Bill.
It. Nailed
fake
it.
Punt. Now, what'd you think of that? Was it 30-10?
It's 30-10. It was a chance for this. That was late third quarter, or was it early fourth?
So a chance to make it. I think it was late.
Hold on, I'll get it.
I don't know, but it was late third. But it had a chance. Okay, It's a three score game. Nebraska just scored, and so it's like, okay, if you go down and make this touchdown, because my first thought was when they missed the extra point,
it was third quarter.
When they missed the extra
late
point, I go, how many times you see an early missed extra point that doesn't haunt you later? Mm-hmm. Never. It always haunts you. I told Laura, I go, that'll haunt him. That'll haunt him. No, it didn't. But that fake punt was huge.
It was. It's 30-10. I don't mind. Like, there's a couple of the sports writers like, why would you do that? You're just rubbing it in.
You're not rubbing it in at 30-10.
No,
the game's not over yet.
That's what I said.
It's a three-score game.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. By no means is that
game over.
You know
how many times you've seen comebacks like that?
Yeah, that was,
and you're 4-6.
Yeah. I mean, if Nebraska's kind of moving, if they get to 30-17, it's kind of a game.
Absolutely.
It had been really dicey at that time.
I thought it was a brilliant call. It pissed me off because that put the game away selfishly, but it was a good call.
It was a good call.
There were some weird things with it. You can just tell by if you go back and watch it, the way the ball was tilted, which wasn't a huge thing for me on the snap, but the shield, as I call them, were much closer than their normal shield.
Is that right?
They were closer.
Is that right?
And also, if you watch them, All three of them are standing straight up and down. It was like when they snapped the ball, they weren't down in a stance kind of as you normally would be. So there was tales of the, hey, this could be a fake. Now, I wouldn't have thought it from the – I'm like, they'll punt it. I mean, I didn't think, well, it might be a fake here. I wasn't, which is the brilliant time to call
it. That was right
fake.
About midfield, too. Right? Right about midfield, I think.
Yeah. So they, no, yeah, I think they're on their own side. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay. But they check got out, about just, 30
just
yards
get
on
it.
Them.
Just get it. Do some research. Okay, so those guys were up. The shield was up because the snap was going to one of them.
You can't run that.
It went to from, Luke Reynolds is the guy.
You can't run
name.
That play from 8 yards deep.
Okay.
You got to cheat him up, yeah. Okay. So that's just one of the...
So there's a tell
there.
They were at their own 46-yard line. It was fourth and four at their own 46.
They snapped it to a guy named Luke Reynolds.
He went 26 yards down the left side. That effectively ended the game.
Yeah, the 8-up clock, and they end up scoring. And
yeah, Catron Allen went in from the 13 to make it 37-10. Yep. That's 11-10 left in the game.
That was it.
Yeah. That's 11-10 left in the game, and that's ball game at that point. Nebraska did move it. I mean, they were moving the ball, which was good. That was good.
Huskers had 131 on the ground, 187 through the air, so just over 300 yards of offense.
And again, the posture was, let's just get out of here and get move on to Iowa, and short week, and here we go.
7-4, the record. 7-4. Chance at 9-4 still with the Iowa win and bowl game. But
it's a big game for Rule, this game and the bowl game. It's big because if you get to 8-4, you can say, I mean, we're better. I always look at bottom line. The schedule is easy, but if you get to 8-4 with the chance to be 9-4, that is, you can point to that and say, that's progress. You can spin that. It would be hard to spin progress at 7-5 with this schedule.
Or 7-6 if they lose a bowl game, too.
Right. It'd be hard. It'd take some doing, especially to the local people, to the Nebraska fans. You could do it.
From afar, you have to remember that it's like right now, you know, you could probably look back at the whoever ranked 25th, whatever, what they're. We have no idea what, you know, Houston looks like. We have no idea what teams. So Nebraska in the same. If you're in the inner circle,
right,
you can point that.
That's what I mean.
If they end up at 9-4, the outer circle will be very positive.
Look at that.
Look at that.
Look at Nebraska here. Right.
Look at that. They won't look at. They won't look at Houston Christian. They won't look at the losses. They won't look at the
schedule.
They won't go back and go, yeah, but they lost to. Lost a Minnesota on the road, 24-6. So they won't do that. They just look at the overall.
Yep.
And especially with the win against Iowa. This would be Rule's biggest win if they beat Iowa.
We just looked up during the break that Nebraska has lost 6 straight home games to Iowa. They've not beaten Iowa since 2011, the first year of the conference in Lincoln.
In Lincoln, they've lost 6 straight.
They've only beat them one time.
It's an astounding
stat. The first year in the conference. That is awful.
This would be Rule's biggest win if they get this. In 3 years, it would be a monster win just in terms of perception. Even though Iowa's not that – they're not that
unranked
great.
Unranked team.
Yeah, they're good, but they're not great. But it would be huge for Nebraska, given the series history, to get them. And then what you're doing is playing for Tampa, too. You're probably playing for Tampa.
We'll get to more of that in the 8 o'clock hour. Before we get to break, though, Bill, the 3 words you don't want to hear in IT are what?
I've been hacked. Be horrible.
Don't want to have that happen.
Be horrible.
Nick got hacked. Swim got hacked.
Yeah, Swim got hacked.
I think Sip was gone for that,
you were
right?
Gone. Swim got hacked. We brought it up on air. Jake brought it up. We got hacked here at the Ticket.
Ooh. Swim opened up an email he shouldn't have and took over his account for a while.
Yeah.
Not good. We should have called right away our friends at Applied Connected Technologies because they're in all 93 counties
of
the
state.
Will,
can you please text Swim?
We'll give you his number, Will. They have a 99.8% retention rate. They manage all things IT and cybersecurity.
Cyber is what we need, Steve.
Email security.
Cyber.
Nicole.
You can always get a consultation for free at AppliedConnective.com.
Thank you, Will.
Thank you, Will.
Good job, Will.
When we come back, it's time for another edition of Head Scratchers. Next on Early Break on the Ticket.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.